With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Influence, impact, making a difference. Now, how do you get there? Do you have an office where you work? You want to make a difference? Make a difference in the lives of those that are around you. Make a difference in the people who employ you. Make a difference in the people who answer to you. Do you provide services? Lawyer, doctor, salesperson? You want to make a living, or do you want to make a difference? You want to make money, or do you want to make a difference?
Welcome, and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective. That we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part two of the message prepared and promoted by God. We continue our series, The Gospel of Christ from Genesis, The Life of Joseph. Books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People quickly become bestsellers, as people are always on the lookout for the latest self-help manual that will finally give them the edge to succeed in business or whatever endeavor they wish to pursue. People are looking for the right strategies and methods to finally reach their goals and achieve their dreams. Well, the believer who really wants to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ must understand that strategies and methods are only as good as the substance and character of the people who enact them. What can we learn from Joseph? A true life changer and difference maker for the Lord. If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Genesis chapter 41. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, Prepared and Promoted by God.
Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. What an amazing statement this made. The man walks in the door prisoner, and he walks out the door prime minister. Absolutely amazing. And in the record of the narrative, there is not one evidence of self-promotion. Not one. Pharaoh takes a look at him. He says, you're discerning, you're wise, you're a leader. And then Pharaoh even gives us more insight. You live by God's word. You live with God's spirit in you. And God's favor is upon you. You've got God's favor, God's word, and God's spirit. And that makes you wise and discerning. Hey, we got anybody like this in Egypt? Nobody. A pagan king hires a believer and puts him over everybody. It's an amazing thing that happens in this promotion. He gives him, notice, he doesn't say, listen, I got this great signet ring that's a sign of authority. Go make one just like mine and give it to this 30-year-old Hebrew. No. He says, here, you take my signet ring. Then he put the gold chain of authority around him. And then he put fine linen clothing. Whatever it was that he had put on to make an appearance before the king just got replaced with fine linen clothing of royalty. And then he gives him the second chariot. So there he is. He's got his prime minister ring, his prime minister chain, his prime minister suit, and he's got Air Force number two ready to go. And then he says, let's have a parade. And he says, everywhere you go, I'll put people in front of you. And this man who came in showing respect to the pagan king, now the pagan king says, everybody's going to show you respect. Bow the knee. What an amazing moment. You would think this might be a wonderful film for a Hollywood filmmaker who might turn this into a Horatio Alger book. See what happens if you stay with it. You've got the power to change everything around you. And what they would miss is what Joseph has kept telling us and the text has kept telling us, that Joseph has been prepared by God and now, through Pharaoh, promoted by God. He's been prepared by God with disloyal brothers. He's been prepared by God with a fickle Potiphar boss. He's been prepared by God by the temptations of a seductress. He's been prepared by God by a prison keeper who has made use of his leadership. He has been prepared by God by a cupbearer that forsake him. Every step of the way was not failure, not the lack of the presence of God, but the evidence of the presence of God to prepare the man for the promotion he's about to give him, for which is going to set up 430 years to bring a nation down, to prepare them and put them through 430 years of what Joseph has gone through in 13 years to take them back when they're ready for the land. Do not ask me to dismiss the sovereignty of God in my theology. This is clearly the hand of God writing through this entire process. Let me show you even how the psalmist refers to that. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. The psalmist was fully aware when they look back at this account of what was happening. Psalm 105 refers to the time where the psalmist says God brought a famine among Israel. By the way, the famine on Israel was at the same time there was a famine in Egypt. Psalm 105, verse 16. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, and he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in the collar of an iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt. This is God's plan. And God's plan is not only to get his man in Egypt, to get things ready for his people. God's plan is to work on his man. And he's working on his man. He's working on his man to prepare him, that he might humble himself under the mighty hand of God, and then God would exalt him at the right time. Here's just a couple of thoughts. Let me give you, how can this, we're not talking about strategies. Here's a man. He walks from a slave pit into Potiphar's house. Everything changes. Trumped up charges. He walks into a prison. Everything changes. And now he's going to a palace, and everything's going to change. Now, so I don't want to talk. I know there are some of you here absolutely amaze me at your strategies to influence. I learned so much from you. Will you with me, though, revel in how God makes an influencer? What does God do in the life of someone? You can have the greatest strategy in the world, but if the person showing up is not a change agent, nothing's going to change. What is it that happens in their life? Well, let me just give you one thing. I wish I could give credit here. This is not, I put it down on your note sheet, but this isn't me. I got it from somebody, and I need to find out who. So I'm sure I'll get an email this week on this one, but you can find it for me. Send it on. Man proposes, but God disposes. Let me use the word of the Proverbs. A man plans his way. God directs his steps. I have just shared with you my absolute confidence in the sovereignty of God. But my confidence in the sovereignty of God does not call me to passivity. It does not call me to laziness. It does not call me to carelessness. It calls me to intentionality. It calls me to make a plan. Joseph is delivered message. God's going to bring 7 years of blessing. God's going to bring 7 years of famine. Done deal. Two dreams. Not only is it a done deal, it's coming quick. So what does Joseph do? Well, I just hope God gets us out of this. He knows God's going to get them out of this, but he also knows that a sovereign God uses his people. God works in order. We're made in God's image. Therefore, rightly, a man plans his way. But the question is how do we plan? Do we plan our way in place of God's word, or do we plan with the precepts of God's word? That's what the believer does. The believer takes God's revealed word and then creates plans in accordance with the precepts of God's word. Say, hey, where's God's word in this? Dreams. Folks, even Genesis hasn't been written yet. We've got over 400 years till we get Genesis written. So we've got a long way till the Bible has been written. So Hebrews chapter 1 says, God in those days would communicate how? With dreams and visions. That's why he said, what did Joseph say to Pharaoh? God has revealed. God has spoken through this dream. Now, let me be very quick. Harry, where are dreams today? They happen at night when you're asleep, I guess. That's the only thing I can tell you. Harry, do I look for dreams? Can God still use dreams today? Yes, for illumination, for inspiration, to get our attention, to impress us, but not revelation. We've got that now. God has finally spoken in his Son, who has given us his word. It is inerrant, infallible, and sufficient. That's all I need. Can God use dreams for illumination? Yes. Am I to look for dreams for revelation, to direct my life, to give me the precepts of life? No, you go to God's word for this. Study the word of God. It is able to equip you for every good work. In other words, let me put it this way. You will not show up here one Sunday and I stand up here and say, don't worry about your Bibles. I had a dream. That just will not happen. If I do that, that actually is a nightmare for you. That's what that is. Okay, so we've got God's word. God's word is true. Now, when I know the truth of God's word, what do? I create a plan out of the truth of God's word. God's word tells me what a man of God's supposed to be. I want to make a plan to grow as a man of God. God's word tells me what a Christian husband is supposed to be. I want to make a plan. God's word even tells me, you know, old Christian husband, you're going to falter. Okay, God, what's a good plan? Get some people around you faithful to the wounds of a friend. I'm going to make that plan. I'm going to get my accountability group around me. I want to be a Christian father. And I'm going to make a plan to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to be a Christian father. God, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a pastor who is growing and serving you among God's people. And I want to be your instrument in their hands. All right, Harry, go to work on the plan. I've already told you in the Bible what a pastor is supposed to be, what a pastor is supposed to do, how he's supposed to grow, what's supposed to happen in his life. Put the plan in place. A man plans his way. God directs his steps. Will my plan always be faithful to God's word? No. Then God will correct me. Now I need to humble myself and take his correction. Will, even if I've got a great plan, will I falter? Yes, I am a sinner saved by grace. You and I both are sinners saved by grace. I'll falter. What do I do then? Well, remember I used this illustration a couple of months ago, I think. Then you just kick in, not MapQuest, you kick in GPS. Kick in TomTom. That's what you do. Harry, what do you mean? Well, you say, I'm going to go this direction, and I get a plan. I hit MapQuest. MapQuest gives me the plan, and I make a wrong turn. And then I make another turn, and another turn, another turn. Well, how do I get back on track? Well, I got to retrace all of my steps and undo this and undo this on MapQuest. Okay, I'm back here. Now I can go. Praise the Lord. God works GPS. Make a wrong turn, wrong turn, wrong turn. Beep. Recalibrate. Now, let me move you back on track. You make a wrong decision about divorce? Unbiblical? God says, all right, here's what we're going to do. If you repent and confess your sins, here's how we're going to recalibrate to put you back on place with restitution, reconciliation. Make a bad decision on a lack of integrity in the job? Here's how we do it. We're going to recalibrate, put you back on forgiveness, repentance, restitution, reconciliation. I'm going to put you right back on track. Because you see, I'm your father and I love you. And I've not only given you the information for the plan, when you falter in the plan, I'll put you right back on track. You come to me confessing and trusting. And then God says, and then I'm going to answer your plan. As you conform your plan to my revealed will, then I want you to be content with the unfolding of my secret will. As I bring you into life, as I work in your life, and as I do the things that I'm going to do in your life, confident and committed to God's word from which we plan, confident and contented in God's will, as God brings our plans to fruition in His glorious plan for His glory and our good. You see, that's what, can I say this again? I've said it, I want to keep saying it. There is a terrible teaching on faith today, that the purpose of faith is my act that enables God to do things for me in my life. No, faith is God's gift for you to receive His blessing, His life, bring all of your needs and concerns to Him, and then faith says, your will be done, not my will be done. I trust you. Now, one other, let me give you a second distillation from this. Here it is. How do I, with my life, influence and attract, particularly unbelievers? I mean, Joseph did. Potiphar. Of course, his attraction of Potiphar's wife didn't turn out too well. That didn't work too well. But Potiphar, the prison keeper, but he responded to Potiphar's wife appropriately. What about now a Pharaoh? I mean, everywhere God sends Joseph, people get drawn to him and start, God uses them to keep promoting him. I mean, it's obvious when you look at him. Wherever Joseph goes, he's a change agent. He's not a victim. Wherever Joseph goes, he's trustworthy. Even as a slave, his master can trust his wife to Joseph. He won't sin against him. He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy in God giving him the gift to interpret these dreams. He is a professional. Harry, you know, Joseph is a professional. I thought he was a slave. Yep, but he was a professional slave. What do you mean professional? The root of the word professional in our language comes from the concept that when you do your work heartily as what? Unto the Lord. The way we work, whether it's in prison, Potiphar's house, or in the palace, wherever we work, it is a profession of our faith. It tells people what we believe about our God. Wherever Joseph went, he constantly made an impact because he did it unto the Lord. He was faithful in little. Now he's about to be over the whole nation. But he had already been faithful in Potiphar's house and in a prison. Now to a nation. He is a man of courage, but compassion. Courage, Pharaoh, wrong. You got that wrong. How do you get the courage to tell a Pharaoh when you're a prisoner he's wrong? Potiphar's wife, I will not do this. Here is a man who has courage in his conviction to follow the Lord, but at the same time, compassion. As he cares for his friends, ministers to cupbearers, and when he hears that God's bringing a famine on a pagan nation, he doesn't say, nuke 'em, God. He says, now how can we show the mercy of God to the people of Egypt? He brings mercy outside of the household of faith. What an amazing man. Yet in the midst of this, the foundation is that Joseph, thousands of years before Peter wrote it, Paul wrote it, and James wrote it. Peter, Paul, and James all wrote this. Have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself. Taking the form of a bondservant, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself unto the obedience of death, even death on a cross. Then God exalted him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you. Paul calls us to follow Christ with that pattern of life. James calls us to do it. Peter calls us to do it. The scriptures call us to do it. Don't prepare yourself. Surrender to God as you make the plans to prepare in the power of the Spirit and the precepts of God's Word. Don't promote yourself. You die to yourself. With selflessness, we serve the Lord. And with selflessness, we let the Lord put us where He wants to put us at the time that He wants to put us, in the midst of the place that He wants to put us. And then the moment comes. Here's the moment, isn't it? Joseph. Here's the moment, right? Joseph just went to the victory stand. Can I use a little Olympic illustration here? He just went to the victory stand. Prime minister. I mean, it's like I was listening to these people looking at the people when they went into the race. This is your moment. No, can I tell you when those athletes' moments were? At 5 o'clock in the morning when they went to the pool. At 7 o'clock in the morning when it was pouring down rain and they went and ran. Second place was still in the bed under an umbrella. That's where that... Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Joseph's moment isn't at the promotion in the palace. You know what happened to Joseph then? Joseph did not change vocation. He just changed location. He'll do in the palace what he did in the prison. He did in the prison what he did in Potiphar's house. Faithful in little, then the Lord keeps entrusting more. He didn't become something different. The difference God was making in him showed up as he went there. On the way, he humbled himself. That's the direction that he went. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. I mean, you're a prisoner. You finally get an audience with Pharaoh, and he says, hey, I hear you're a dream interpreter. You know, I know what I would have said. Hey, boy, I tell you, Pharaoh, you just give your dreams to me. I'll take care of you, buddy. No, Pharaoh, you're wrong. It's not me. It's God. No wonder a pagan king will see not a self-promoting, self-righteous, arrogant, quote-unquote believer. He sees a man of God humble. Where are we going to find a man like this with the Spirit of God in him? Selfless, God-full. That's the man that is sought out because of what God is doing in his life. Here's one last thought. I don't want this to be about Joseph. This has got to be about Jesus. It's got to be Jesus, about Jesus, as you look at a pagan king who sees the picture of a man humbling himself, and then the king exalts him. And where I want you to go is just flee to Jesus. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of not just a Pharaoh, not just your boss, not just your parents, not just your teachers. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll use bosses and teachers and everybody out there to do His purposes. Sometimes you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm in prison. No, nope, God's doing His purposes. He'll exalt you at the right time. He exalted him in Potiphar's house. He exalted him in the prison. Then He exalted him in the palace. All the while, He's humbling Himself. What a beautiful picture of what Christ does. And of course, can we escape it? It even tells us He's 30 years old. Sold with 20 pieces of... Folks, don't you see the Holy Spirit putting this before us so that you fix your eyes not on Joseph, but on Jesus? He's the one that is with him by the Spirit of God who is within him. And you fix your eyes on Jesus who humbled himself and God exalted him. And then he says, now not only do you come to me and I will exalt you at the right time, but I want you now to humble yourself. Make much of God, not much of yourself. And I will put you in the location where you can serve that vocation of enjoying God and glorifying Him. That's what I do with my people. What a glorious picture that we see Christ at work in Joseph, and then through Joseph, anticipate a Christ who will humble himself, be exalted, and then bring his people to glory in the parade of redemption. Pharaoh, I think I would be inappropriate before the Lord if I didn't draw the picture that's clearly in the text. Pharaoh, God revealed in his word to Pharaoh, and someone explained into him that there is a danger and a judgment of famine that's coming. Now here's the plan to meet it. And Pharaoh responded to that physical situation. God's word has also revealed something else. There is the day where every man will appear before the Lord. and there is a judgment of eternal condemnation. But you don't have to think of a plan. God's made the plan. The plan is Jesus. The word that told Pharaoh the famine's coming and it came is the same word that tells you it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. And that same word gives deliverance. It tells you, come, flee the wrath to come by fleeing to Jesus Christ. Come. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Christ says come. Friend, if you make that and want to make that commitment to Jesus, just flee to Him. Oh Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I come to You and trust in Jesus Christ who delivers from the wrath to come. And thank You for the greatest gift of all, not only deliverance, but Jesus Himself will be with me.
The world tells us that we have the right stuff and to believe in ourselves to attain our goals and make our dreams come true. But Joseph shows us the substance of a real difference maker for God, a character of humble submission, faithful service, and steadfast trust in the Lord. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Prepared and Promoted by God, or simply ask for message number 10729. Again, that's message number 10729. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD along with shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is raising a family. One of the biggest challenges in the Christian life is raising a family. Pastor Reader's series, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. Some of the topics Harry covers in this series includes developing a heart for the home. What about singleness? 10 practices for biblical parenting. What about divorce, marriage, and remarriage? This 12 sermon series album, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, is available for just $36. It's easy to order. Go online to briarwood.org/7essentials. That's briarwood.org/7essentials. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will encourage your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no charge. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.